relate these things through a story, and I thought what might be appropriate was to tell you when I got one of the greatest video games ever. The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time. Let me tell you, lived up to all the hype. It was truly one of the best video games ever. It had been pre-ordered into non-existence. That particular year, everybody was anticipating it coming out. The stores were accepting pre-orders, and pretty much if you hadn't done that January the year before, you weren't getting a copy. It was the, let me say, the single most sought-after game at that time of all games up until that time. It set records of all kinds for sales. It was part of a classic series, and did I mention it was hard to get a hold of? This is the story of how and when I received that game with a point, okay? It didn't start off so hot, and here's what was going on, some background information that I think might be helpful. One, Jen and I were newly married. I don't remember if this was our first Christmas together, but I think it was. Things get foggy after a year, or however many it's been. And two, at that time, I had just a few classes left that I needed to finish for my degree, and I was taking them at a local campus because Jen had started her job, and to help pay for my classes and all the crazy tuition that we had racked up, I was working a job as a book delivery person at schools. So sometimes companies come in, you can order books. I was the guy that would log all the books in and deliver them. That was how I earned money to help pay for classes, as I said. And I was working as part of a very small team. This was not a large organization in our territory, in the area. So we would drive and cover the schools, just a small team of us. And as you can imagine, like any other kind of delivery service at that time of year, it was nuts. So going into this week before Christmas, and the orders had been placed, and people were buying books for gifts or things for their classroom or whatever, I just knew. You just knew. Like, there was going to be book after book sold, which meant I'm lugging wheat. We'd bring them in bins or in boxes and just metric tons, as much candy as we had at the trunk and treat. Like, that equivalent in books, only their books. So it was just miserable is what I'm saying. There was so much delivery coming that week, and I knew it. So Jen and I are newly married, and I have this to do. And by the way, you can take yourself back, or if you haven't been there yet, let me give you a sneak preview. You spend your first Christmas with someone, and you know, you're married, and you've got then the families you're going to balance out. You've still got friends that you're going to spend time with, and there's holiday gatherings through work, and there's all kinds of festivities and plans that we had. You know what I'm talking about, right? Okay? So it's like, how are we going to divide time up with the families this year? Who are we going to see at Christmas? And we still got to make sure we catch our friends, and there was all of that. So this is a week, and it's loaded, and everything's ready. And I was at church that Sunday before the week of Christmas, and I was not singing the songs that day because my throat was hurting. You know, like, it's irritated enough. I didn't want to be singing, so I was just kind of grooving to the tunes, but not feeling it. And as the service went on, I think it's because the preacher had a terrible sermon, much like this one. I don't know. But my head began to hurt. I was like, great, sore throat and a headache. Probably got a cold. The day progressed, and it got to the point where I was waiting all day for Sunday night football, which normally I would be thoroughly enthused about, but I was feeling like, I need to go to bed. I love me some football, but I need to go to bed. I remember, like, this doesn't happen to me. If there's football on, I'm up. I was like, I'm going to watch some, nope, I'm going to bed. Long day tomorrow, I'm not feeling it. Okay. I laid there that night in bed. But I didn't sleep much, and I wasn't feeling super great. I do remember a lot, and I can still picture, because at one point I started counting, like, ceiling tiles. And I didn't get a lot of sleep, and I was feeling like, oh, okay. And I look over the clock at one point, nose is now stuffy, body's not feeling so hot. But I'm like, new day is coming, it's a week of Christmas, we're ready to go. And I look at the clock, and it's 5:30, and in a half hour I got to be up and moving. I took a deep breath. and I thought through what I needed to do, did a little reflection, got my mind in the right set. And I rolled over to Jen, and I'm like, hey, Jen. I'm like, hey, Jen. She says, yeah. I'm like, I'm going to die. I felt awful. Listen, some of you are like, yeah, I've been sick before too. You don't understand. I was sick. Some people say, oh, I think I have the flu. Listen, if you've ever had the flu, you don't say that. You're like, shoot me. Do it, please. I was in that state. I'm like, Jen, this may be the last sentence I ever speak. I'm sick. And I laid back and I'm like, where's Jesus? Let's go. And I just felt miserable. It wasn't just sick like my nose was stuffed up, but my nose was stuffed up. It wasn't just sick like my head hurt. Oh, but my head hurt. It wasn't just sick like my throat hurt. My throat was raging. It wasn't just full body aches sick, but I had full body aches. She's like, what are you going to do? You have a huge day today. I'm like, I know. She's like, well, try and get yourself around. I'm like, check, try and get yourself around. Here's what happened, and I will not exaggerate. Here's what happened. I got out of bed, and one of my limbs fell off, all right? I exaggerated. The carpet felt like an assault on my feet. I turned the shower on, and something in my head screamed in terror. I went back and laid down in the bed. She's like, that wasn't good. I know. It's like, you got to go. I know. I'm like, seriously, I'm going to die. Said, well, let me turn the lights on. She clicked the lights on, and I went into full Dracula in the sunlight mode. I'm like, I was sick. Okay? We have it. I was sick. She's like, what are you going to do? I mean, it wasn't that I could just call off again. I worked as part of a very small team. And I was the book lugger. And there was going to be no shortage of books to deliver. I'm like, I have no earthly idea. I cannot get to work. I can't. I don't like to do that. If I can drag myself through something, I may not be happy. I may cuss and mumble a bunch, but I'll do it. If I've committed to it, I'm going to do it. Came up with that just now. But I'm like, I can't even think about sitting upright, let alone hauling books. And Jen looked at me and she goes, I'll go in for you. Well, hot dang. Now that's a wife. And then, you know, then the logic, it presented itself to my brain in its feeble state. It was like Jen lugging books. And everything, like, hurt from just the chuckle. And I said, Jen, you can't just... And she goes, no, I'm going into work for you. She got herself around, and she went... And she worked that day for me. Awesome. When she came home, her back was broken in 3 different places. Her arms didn't move. But I was like, well, that was awesome, okay? That day went on, and I spent all of it, and I mean all of it, in bed. If I had to use the restroom, they did a helicopter lift to get me there. I was so sick. I should have seen a doctor sick. You've been there sick, right? But if I had gone to the doctor, they'd have put a toe tag on me and zipped me up. And I just wasn't doing it sick. Jen gets home and she's like, how are you feeling? I'm like, shh, I'm still going to die. She's like, well, Devin, we've got all our Christmas stuff to do. I'm like, I know. She's like, take it easy today. I'll make you some soup and we'll let you rest. And I think they were doing at that time like the 72-hour James Bond marathon, which I loved. I was like, okay, wrapped myself in a blanket, and the blanket hurt. Tried to go upstairs to the TV, and it wasn't happening. I'm like, turn it on loud, I'll lay here and listen. She turns it on, and James Bond, and ba-da, ba-da. I'm like, and headache. It was awful. Instead of getting better over that day that she went to work for me, I got worse. So, my sister was in town. My brother and his wife were in town. My parents were there, and they were going to go out to dinner, and we were all going to have a Christmas time together and hang out. It was going to be fun. I could not make it. I'm like, I'm sorry, I can't go along. And Jen's like, oh, but your family. I'm like, I know, but listen, I'm going to die. And I couldn't make that, and that really hurt. Like, the first time, you know, as a couple, and the family was all there, it wasn't happening. And later that evening, we had plans to do some holiday baking. I'm like, you don't want me touching food. I'm going to make little bacterial cultures, and we may give them away. You don't want this. And the next day is what really, really hurt, because we still had our friends, and we were going to do, you know, kind of a friends gathering for Christmas. And we get up the next morning, and Jen's like, how do you feel? How do you feel? I'm like, touch me again, and I will disintegrate. Leave me here and place a sheet over my head. I was sick. She had worked a day for me. I had missed these gatherings. And Jen's like, but we're going to catch our friends. I'm very sorry. Please call 911, was all I could get out. I missed that gathering with our friends. And Jen came home, and I was like, how was it? She's like, oh, it was so much fun. Oh, my goodness, we had this happen, and there was a gift exchange, and you went, it was all right. How are you? And Jen said to me, seriously, I will never forget this. She goes, you're feeling pretty miserable. Understatement of the century. I believe I had the flu with extra flu sauce on top of the flu. I was just the sickest I have ever been up until that point, and every day of my life after that point, I have never felt that sick. And Jen goes, I wish I could cheer you up somehow. And I'm like, I've missed everything. Let me rot in peace. She goes, you want your Christmas gift early? I'm like, Yeah. Maybe. And she brings in Zelda. The Ocarina of Time. I'm like, are you kidding me? Did you sell one of my kidneys for this? And is that why I feel bad? Like, I don't know how she got a hold of it. I don't know how she knew I wanted it. I don't know where she got it from, but she's like, you're feeling bad, and I feel bad for you, and rather than put my hand on you for comfort, lest I contract your disease, here is this game. And it was awesome, and I didn't have the heart to tell her, like the light from the TV, every photon made my head hurt worse. Every light particle was an assault on my brain and my will to live. But I booted up the system, I turned on the TV, and I pressed start, and I passed out. But it was so cool. Listen, the best gift that I got that year, the best video game I've had in a long time, was Zelda. The Ocarina of Time. But the best gift that I got that year was a wife that went to haul books in my place. And when she saw I was down, stayed with me and tried her very, very best to cheer me up. That is awesome. Maybe you've never been that sick. Maybe you haven't experienced near death, which I believe I was at. No exaggeration. But you know what it's like when someone steps into your mess and is willing to be there with you and even add joy to your existence. Now, I didn't know. I thought like the next day, maybe the next hour, my existence was done. But Jen was there. So apparently, when she said those vows, for better or for worse, in sickness and in health, she meant that. That was really cool. Jen was there for me. I knew I could count on her. And again, she gave me something to try and brighten where I was at. So for yourself, think about it. Some of you are saying, okay, yeah, Devin, here's a little tip for life. That's what a spouse does, and that's why they take those vows. So I've been through worse, and your whiny little story doesn't affect me. All right? Fair enough. One, you've never played Zelda, the Ocarina of Time. And two, let me blow it up then. Let me just do a really broad sweep here and tell you, hey, let's look at the bigger picture. On a grander scale, that is exactly what God has done for us. That's what we celebrate at Christmas. Jesus found us not in a state where everybody had repented and said, we are prepared for the Messiah, our hearts are right, and we have peace with God. Please bring him. God sent Jesus into the world at a very regular time where people are people and stuff wasn't perfect. It goes a little something like this, in case you've forgotten. Luke chapter 2, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinus was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available. There were shepherds out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God, saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go check it out." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about the child. All who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. And on the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. Please note once again this story that maybe you're familiar with, or maybe that was the first time you've heard it read today. This story does not begin with a world that has been baptized and prepared and is standing on guard just waiting for the Messiah. It begins with the world going about its activities. In fact, people got to move around in this area for the census. Why? Because the emperor said so. Why does it matter that the emperor said so? Well, because if you were an Israelite, you were under foreign occupation. There was an empire that didn't like you, and they were in charge, and you did what they said. It wasn't that it was Mary, and they had it all decorated for Christmas, and they were just waiting for Mary, like, "Let's get that child out and go!" The people had longed for, the people had hoped for, the people had waited for a Messiah, and honestly, some had begun to think, God's gone silent. Maybe this isn't happening. And it wasn't as though this group of people were so pious and holy, again, that their mere presence shot up a beam of light, and God was like, "Oh, it is time I should send Jesus to this very worthy crowd." The world was just as much a mess as it is today. There were people that had real problems. There were people that had real joys. And in the midst of all that, God didn't say, "I'm going to give an excellent gift." God said, "I'm going to remind them of just how much I love them. I'm going to live among them." God stepped down from heaven and shed the light that can't even be looked upon because it's so bright, and gave up all the rights and titles and absolute power that God holds. God said no thank you to the angels that tended to him, and he said that's all right to those that guarded him. And though he has status of not just a king, but the word God has meaning, don't miss it, complete and all total power, the sole place above everything, God said, "That's all right. I love these people so much. I will dwell with them." And on that night, the world found out God's promises are true. And God is indeed Emmanuel, God with us. The greatest gift ever given was not a present, but as I've been saying, the presence of God with us, Emmanuel. The greatest gift ever given is the presence of a loving God, and you and I are the recipients of that love. You are part of the story too, and you can choose from several options. One, You can choose to pretend that this whole thing is made up and it feels good at Christmas and it's not real. That's your right. You can choose that. Two, you can choose to ignore it and to say, well, whatever, that sounds great. Cool, I'm just not dealing with it. You have that option. You can choose to think, oh, isn't that nice? It sounds good, and all things that are good must have meaning in the universe, and so in some cosmic karmic way, that's wonderful, and I'm glad that we have that story. You can choose to stop and worship that God who chooses to this day to be present with us. But whatever you choose, know this, just like me in my broken and pathetic state, Jen chose to be with me and to offer me joy. God has already chosen to be present with you and to offer you all the riches that he has. And yet in that, God is gentleman enough to stand aside and say, whatever you choose to do with that, I offer you my presence. So I choose to celebrate this Christmas and this Advent season. I choose to say thank you to God for the incredible gift. I choose to try and live into the reality that I have been accepted and blessed as a child of God. And some days I slip and I don't do exactly the things that I could do, or at least not to the best of my abilities, but then I choose to remember God loves me so much that his greatest and deepest desire is just to be present with me. So what happens at this point in your story? God has offered his presence to you. Not just a really good gift, not just something that might bless you. God has said, I will be present with you when you're hurting. I will be present with you when you can't make sense of life. I will be present with you when you're celebrating extreme joy. I will be present with you during these holidays. And if you remember that I don't just have clever little figurines and Christmas trees, I'll be present with you after the holidays. God says, I love you so much, I will be present with you. And how do you want to respond to that? What would you like to give back to God for that incredible gift? Worship? A thank you? Maybe the gift of yourself, deciding that you will follow in the ways of Christ. John 3:16 and 17, many of you know this well, but this is the story. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but can have everlasting life, because God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Let us pray.